John chapter 1, if you would, stand with me, beginning verse 19. John chapter 1, verse 19. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" And he saith, "I am not." "Art thou that prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou? Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah." Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts tonight, and I pray that as we look at John, a great man, but so humble, so subdued, did his job and fell away in the background and went away. God help us to be that man. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. "Who art thou?" asked them of John the Baptist. "Who art thou?" Do you ever stop to think, "Who am I? What am I?" Once in a while, we look at ourselves and think, "I'm pretty good. I'm okay." And we compare ourselves to somebody a little bit lower. And we like what we see in ourselves. But then every once in a while, we look at someone our superior. Not that they think they're our superior. We just know they're superior to us. And all of a sudden, you think, "Lord, who am I? What am I?" They asked John in verse 19, "Who art thou? Who art thou?" And I want to give you some things tonight that John said of himself that probably will be a help to us. Number one, he said, "I am a voice." In verse 22, they said unto him, "Who art thou, that we may give an account to them that sent us? What sayest thou thyself of thyself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. I am a voice." And you and I are a voice. We're a voice for God. No one in here has ever heard God speak to them in an audible way. There are people that have claimed that, but I don't believe them, because usually what they say, "God told me," does not match up with the scripture. That's how some of the cults got started. God doesn't speak to us in a loud, audible voice today. He speaks to us in a still, small voice that will guide us to scripture to know who God is and what I should be. But John said, "I am a voice." A voice means the person. You and I are a people, a person, a voice. And we are the voice of God here on earth. A person can get saved by just picking up the Bible and reading the Bible, but that doesn't happen very often. There have been remote missionary places where a Bible somehow got into people, and some men, through the leadership of the Holy Spirit, have studied the Scripture and come to know Christ in a way so when missionaries finally got there, they already knew some of the Scripture. They didn't know all the detail that God would allow them to learn through a preacher, but they had it. But you and I have a voice. Our pastor is a voice. And he's one that we need to listen to on a regular basis. And I think we do. We admire our pastor. We don't adore him. He's a man of God. He's a sinner just like the rest of us, but he is a God-called man that has put his life in studying the Scripture, and he is a voice, but I am a voice. I can take what I hear and echo what I hear and pass it on to other people. So a voice is a person. Not only that, it's a loud voice. John said, crying in the wilderness? 23, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. We need to cry out the Word of God. You know, we have the Word of God in our heart and we live. And there's a lot of people that say we do our soul winning today by our godly living. We influence people for the cause of Christ. Well, we ought to do that, but we've also got a voice, and we need to be one crying in the wilderness. I don't think anyone in here today could deny that we are in a wilderness. I was just talking to Brother Klein about some of the things going on in the world today, and the abortion, the ungodly abortion in New York and going into other states, the killing of babies. One heartbeat before they're born has become legal, from what I understand. To me, that's murder. I think it's murder after they have one heartbeat. Not the last one, but the first one ought to be the one to determine it. And we're in it. And look back in society and the world. Pharaoh killed the babies. Herod killed the babies. Hitler killed anyone who didn't agree with him. That is the devil's domain. Murder and mayhem. And we are the voice of one crying in the wilderness, and our voice needs to be heard. And it's the voice in the wilderness, as I just said. But it more than that, it's a voice with a message. He said to make straight the way of the Lord. There's a lot of messages out there today. A lot of denominational teaching. A lot of cult teaching that is leading men astray. A lot of people are taking the Christian thought and making a business out of it, like some of these come as you are, leave as you are, and have the coffee house out here. And in some churches, you can even go in and sit down. The pastor's got a beer on the pulpit while he's preaching. God help him. That's ungodly. It's a good thing we're not God, because he is very long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If you and I were God, I started to say we'd be the only one left, but we would have probably killed each other. We're an evil, wicked society, and we need to be that voice. And not only that, John was not only a voice, but he was a humble servant. Verse 26 and 27. John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. John knew his shortcomings as a man. He was a man of all men. He would put most of us to shame. Most of America, most of us preachers would be ashamed to even stand in the shadow of John the Baptist. But here was a humble man and said, I'm not even worthy to unloose the latchet of his shoes. He talked about Jesus. He said, he is preferred. Boy, most of us are so egocentric. that we think, how's this going to glorify me? Now, we don't verbally say it, but it sure goes through our mind. I have to fight that all the time. I like to be recognized. But I pray, God, don't let them. Don't let them. Because probably if I got recognized too much, I would begin to think too much of myself. And I'm not. He is preferred. Magnify Jesus. Make much of Him in everything that you do. I love to tell people about Jesus and to pass out our cards. I've told you this, and I'm going to tell you again. The Marathon is my church away from my church and my office away from my office. I've led probably 15 people to the Lord over 20 years down there. A lot of people come in that I know, and I pass out these cards or give them a track. And a lot of places I go that I give them over and over. I just did it at Dollar General. I told the lady, I said, I've probably given you one of these before, but here's another one. Come and visit. She said, yes, you have. Yes, you have. Well, you know what? I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to quit. I want to magnify Jesus. He's my Savior. And without Him, you and I would be nothing. We would be standing over the pit of hell today with one foot on one side, one foot on the other, and both of them gradually slipping in to where we'll split hell wide open. And that's what we deserve. But thank God for His grace. Thank God for His mercy. That in spite of what we were, He loved us. He died for us. He paid the price. But never forget, we're not the end product. We're only the beginning. There's still multitudes out there that need to hear. And you and I are the voice of one crying in the wilderness, look to Jesus, trust Jesus. John said of Jesus, He is preferred. But He said, I am unworthy. Humble yourself and remain lowly in stature. Why does God not let us have a higher position than what we have? Because we're just about where we can manage to get by. If we got a little bit higher, we'd begin thinking, man, I'm something, but I ain't nothing. Nothing but a blood-bought sinner with a voice to cry in the wilderness and to tell people about the Savior. Another thing about John, he is expendable. Look in 129. John said, follow Jesus, not me. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is He of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. There's nothing goes on in this church that couldn't go on without me, without you. Now I understand there are people that leave and leave a void. You understand what I mean. This church is not built on Pastor Ross, on Jerry Ross, on us. This is God's church. And God will bless it to the extent that we submit ourselves under Him and realize what we are and let Him work in us and through us. Verse 35. Again the next day, after John stood, two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. I like to lead people to the Lord. And I like it when they come in and sit here in the pew. But I'm telling you, in this day and age, it's like pulling teeth to get them in here. But if any come in and become faithful and something to this church, it's not because of me, it's because of Christ and Him alone. And I want to magnify Christ in my life. This last 3 or 4 months, I've had some things take place in my life. Not detrimental things, spiritual things. My prayer life is about 1,000% better than it was a few months ago. God brought conviction. I've been a prayer, but I've been a silent prayer. And I use that as an excuse not to verbally talk to God. Now, I don't know how you pray. I don't care. I hope you're praying, whether it's telepathy with God or whether you're speaking out loud. But this is what happened to me. I committed myself to start praying. Serious praying like I've never done. You know, one of the first things I committed to, I've got our church directory. And I pray at least once a day and mostly twice a day for every one of you in here by name. Not by family, by name. Every man, woman, boy, and child. And it's revolutionized my life. But one day, I was on my knees and praying as I'd always prayed, and just all of a sudden, I blurted out, "Oh God," and a verbal prayer and calling on name. That did something for me. I hope it'll do something for you. Without prayer, we're dead men. I've been preaching for a long time, but I wonder how much of what I've done has been in the flesh. I mean, I want to be open with you tonight. Some things I'm just downright ashamed of. Probably laziness. Lack of commitment. But here was John. He said, "Look to Jesus. He must increase, but I must decrease." Not only did John feel that he was expendable, but he completed his ministry. Verse 29 and on, it says, "This is my joy. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease." John's life was over, but it continues to this very day. The man who thought, "I'm just going to point people to Jesus," left quite a heritage, didn't he? I don't know if Lord tarries. What will people think about us 100 years from now? You know, I'm doing a lot of studying on people from 100 years ago. And I thank God for the recorded history of it. They wrote books. They kept journals. I'm afraid our generation is just going to pass away. And 100 years from now, they're going to say, "Well, who were they? What did they do? How did they accomplish what they did?" I want to be that man. I want to be the John the Baptist. I don't want anything for me. I just want to be used of God. His life was over, but it continued to speak. The last thing, John was very confident in Christ. John 1:34. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. I don't think I have to convince anybody in here tonight. Jesus is the Son of God. No matter what we do, no matter what we give, no matter what we sacrifice, it belongs to God, and it's not enough. I want to be confident in myself also. Philippians 3:9. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him. This is in Philippians 3:9 and on. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained. This is Paul writing. Paul, probably the greatest missionary the world ever knew. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting that which is behind, reaching forth unto that which is before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I want to glorify Christ. I want him to be seen in my life, in my talk, in my attitude, in my giving, in my living, every aspect. So, John, who art thou? He's a voice. He's a loud voice. He's a voice where needed in the wilderness. He was a voice with a message. Make straight the way of the Lord. That's our purpose here on earth. If God didn't have ministry for every one of us here on earth, he would have already taken us home to heaven. Think about Enoch. He walked with God and was not, because God took him. To my knowledge, he and Elijah are the only two that were taken up by God. Oh, to be an Enoch. Oh, to be an Elijah. Oh, to be a John the Baptist. God help us. There's a job to be done. Souls to be won. Family members. God, give us power to witness to them. May they see something in us, the power of Jesus Christ in our life, to get their attention. And to our neighbors, many of them been witnessed to over and over again, but just no movement. And God, it's not going to happen unless you, the Holy Spirit, comes and breaks hearts and brings convictions. But God, help us to be a voice in the wilderness, one that would cry out and literally make known the way of the Lord. Empower us, God. Can't do it, can't do it, can't do it in the flesh. That's been proven over and over. Lord, how I want your power, how I want the Holy Spirit in my life, on my life, to use me. And I hope that this will pass on. Dear God, help us, I pray, In Jesus' name, amen.